For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Have the NFC West offenses got good enough to beat the San Francisco 49ers in 2024? Going to look at all the key additions for all teams, and then go over the matchups and see exactly if they've closed the gap on the 49ers defense. All that and more on this episode of 49ers Cutback.
From the alley-oop to Kezar to the glory days at the stick. From who's got it better than us to brick by brick. It's always the 49ers way, from offseason to game day. Yeah, we talk back. It's the 49ers Cutback.
It's 49ers Cutback podcast time. Welcome to the show, everyone. I'm talking about the 49ers defense, how it matches up against the offenses in the NFC West. And of course, these offenses continue to add players and playmakers that are going to be able to make an impact in this battle to take over the NFC West. Seattle has added receivers in recent memory, and of course, the entire focus has been adding offensive linemen, because you have to add offensive linemen to be able to handle the 49ers defensive pass rush. The 49ers have set the tone in the NFC West ever since Nick Bosa got to town in 2019. That 2019 defensive line definitely changed the way things were looked at and perceived around the league, and especially in the NFC West. If you were going to beat the San Francisco 49ers, you had to have an offensive line that was good enough to hold up to four pretty good pass rushers. Not just that, but you had to be able to establish a run game against a defense that was normally one of the best as far as front seven in the NFL. When you've got linebackers like Fred Warner and Dre Greenlaw, and for a while Aziz Alshire, and now others, you've got to make sure you can run the football consistently, and then that you can get rid of the football quickly when it comes to throwing the ball. So offensive line has been a focus, and then getting playmakers on the outside so you can get rid of the ball quickly. And of course, for the Rams, moving on from Jared Goff and getting Matthew Stafford. Now, what has everyone decided to do this year to try to overtake the 49ers? The 49ers defense was still the class of the division last season. The defense played really well, especially against the NFC West, and made some plays. Now, Arizona ran the ball pretty effectively against the 49ers during the season. Seattle Seahawks had a little bit of an opportunity in the passing game, but their run game wasn't as good this year with Kenneth Walker against the 49ers as it was the year before. Now, when you look at the Rams and Matthew Stafford are always one of the most interesting teams going against the 49ers. In week two, first half, boy, were they really good against Steve Wilkes' defense. The 49ers had to make some adjustments. They're always a concern, especially with Cooper Kupp and now the emergence of Puka Nacua. What exactly did they do to get better? We're going to go through, we're going to talk about the key additions for the 49ers on defense and how that might help the 49ers stave off these offenses from being able to be efficient and effective against them. But also, we'll look at the key additions to the offenses of the other three teams in the NFC West and see, can that possibly make them a big-time player in potentially beating the 49ers? Because you have to score points if you're going to beat San Francisco. Of course, you got to stop the team, and we did an episode about the 49ers offense versus the NFC West. You can go back and check that out. But right here, we're going to talk about the 49ers defense against the three offenses of the Cardinals, Rams, and Seahawks. Please like and subscribe to the channel if you haven't already. I really appreciate it. If you're listening on audio platform, 49ers Cutback on Believe, please give it a 5-star rating. And if you're going to bet, bet with Bet Online. Bet Online is your number one source for the NBA Finals, the Stanley Cup Finals this season. Every stat, every matchup, and even live odds and spreads while the games are being played. When the game's over, head over to our online casino and get in on a game of blackjack or poker or unwind with one of our over 150 slot games. Head to the website today to get in on the action. Use the promo code BELIEVE, that's B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet Online, the game starts here. So when you're talking key additions for the 49ers, it was going to be very important to try to replace some of the losses you were going to have along the defensive line. Last year, the 49ers had an injury to Drake Jackson, and truthfully, Drake Jackson didn't live up to expectation. So you needed to find a pass rusher opposite of Nick Bosa. So they traded for Randy Gregory. It was okay. It wasn't great. They traded for Chase Young. There were flashes and moments of him potentially being a big-time star within this defense. But they had to adjust and do something different because Gregory and Chase Young were free agents. So they did really good, and they went out and they got some guys that can make an impact on this team. First off, they got Leonard Floyd, the former Los Angeles Ram who played in Buffalo last season. And this guy is the model of consistency, but he's very familiar with the NFC West. So this is a good addition for the 49ers. He's pretty good against the run. He's very good rushing the passer, usually a close to double-digit sacks in every single season. And the best part is he doesn't get hurt. He doesn't miss games. So that's very important for the 49ers. So they finally got a legit edge rusher opposite of Nick Bosa that you feel confident can go in there and potentially get double-digit sacks for this football team. But they weren't done because they added Yetur Gross-Matos as well, who can come in and fill their Arden Key role of a guy who's a base 4-3 defensive end, but can also move in on obvious pass downs and rush from the interior, where he's going to be too athletic for interior offensive linemen and still has the power to be able to get a nice push and get to the quarterback. So added two very important pieces to the 49ers puzzle. But then Arik Armstead is gone. He wouldn't work with the 49ers. The 49ers couldn't work with him and get something done that made a lot of sense. So Armstead moves on to Jacksonville, and the 49ers trade for Malik Collins from the Houston Texans. Seventh round pick goes to Houston, and here comes Malik Collins, a veteran that's got it done for a long time in this league and understands the 49ers system playing for D'Amico Ryans last year. So this is a solid move for the 49ers and a quick replacement for Arik Armstead. Is he going to be as complete as the blueprint playing defensive tackle? I don't know if that could be the case, but he does play a lot of games. And when it comes to durability, that has been an issue for Arik Armstead over recent memory. The last two seasons, he's missed a lot of football games. So getting a player that may not be as good as Armstead, but still is there playing, will bring more consistency. More consistency will then help out Javon Hargrave, who's had a lot of issues when it comes to having the same impact he had in Philadelphia because he just didn't have the running mate next to him. Nothing against Javon Kinlaw, nothing against Kevin Givens, but they are not Arik Armstead. They are not Malik Collins. And in some cases, they're not even Jordan Elliott, who the 49ers brought in to play defensive tackle and help try to establish a run stopper at defensive tackle. He comes over from Cleveland, another similar system. It's not going to be a huge transition And Coach Nick Sorensen has already been talking glowingly about Jordan Elliott and what he could add to this football team. So 49ers bring in two defensive tackles, and they replace Javon Hargrave. Javon Kinlaw, and they replace Eric Armstead. Is it going to equal into the same production? We hope so. So we'll see what they do there. But they had to make sure they redid and retooled that defensive line, and they did so. Will that be enough to slow down some of the offenses around the league? Well, when it comes to the run game, they had to get another linebacker because Oren Burks moved on, but also Dre Greenlaw is probably going to start the year on the PUP list, which means the first six games at least, you're going to need a player to step in. And Campbell comes from the Green Bay Packers playing for Joe Barry in that defense, and he wasn't really excited about how they used him within the defense. But he comes from Atlanta originally, where he played in a similar scheme, and so he has a lot of comfort with what's expected out of this defense. So Devondre Campbell steps in. He should be able to help in the run. So Jordan Elliott, Devondre Campbell should help the 49ers run defense be a little bit better. We'll see how Malik Collins plays within this defense, and hopefully he can help as well. But the 49ers are going to need an emergence of another linebacker as well. We've heard great things from Fred Warner about D. Winters. Hopefully Winters can step up, or Jalen Graham, or even Tatum Bethune, the new draft pick who the 49ers brought in to play linebacker. So Bethune, another key addition the 49ers brought in. We'll see if he's able to make this roster and then make an impact, but a very solid player. But the 49ers also looked at the secondary. They needed to make a move at the secondary. They had brought in guys to fill holes last season. Ambry Thomas played well and then struggled and then played well and then struggled, and ultimately down the stretch wasn't playing his best football. So they knew they needed to get better from cornerback three on. And so what they did is they went and they signed free agent cornerback Isaac Yedem. And Yedem comes over from New Orleans, where he stepped in and played very admirably over eight games. In fact, he played pretty good as he was filling in for Paulson Adebo. And so the 49ers get a cornerback that's rangy with a lot of length that can help and right away step in day one as cornerback three and really make this defense more deep. They just improved from what they had last year, and that's very important for this team because they just haven't been able to hit on some of the picks that they've had in the draft. They've hit on some. Yaminor Lenore was a huge hit for the 49ers, and they're hoping Darrell Luter Jr. is going to be a hit as well. But Womack and Ambry Thomas so far haven't been able to meet expectations, so we'll see there. But they weren't done as far as the veteran route. They also got Rock Ya-Sin, so Rock Ya-Sin's going to come in, former second-round pick in the 2019 draft, picked a few picks before Deebo Samuel. So you had Rock Ya-Sin. He was with Baltimore last year. That battle, he's going to compete. He's very physical player. He plays the run well. Savvy veteran, great signing. 49ers bring in two veterans where they've been relying on some young players over the last couple years. Now they're not taking any chances. Lenore and Charvarius Ward, veterans, have seen it all. They now understand everything about this defense and what teams are trying to do to them. Then they bring in Yedem and Rock Ya-Sin, who've seen it all as well. It's a great move by the 49ers bringing in depth, but also bringing in a rookie in Renardo Green, who's going to eventually be your nickel of the future, at least you're hoping. But they get him in the second round, last pick of the second round, and Green's going to come in and battle. So you've got competition all over the place at the cornerback position. 49ers knew they needed to get better against the pass. They got a little bit better when it came to rushing the passer, and they've got better when it came to the secondary in a big way. But also, you have to address the safety position. 49ers knew that they were going to have to potentially replace Tashaun Gibson. Gibson is not signed by anyone right now, but he's not in San Francisco. They drafted Malik Mustafa in the fourth round. So now they have Malik Mustafa to back up all-pro Talanoa Fonga and Jair Brown going in his second year. I think everyone's optimistic about Jair. So those are the additions to the 49ers. And boy, was it a long list. If you look, go back and you watch the offensive video, very small list of additions. 49ers were returning 12 starters if you include Juwan Jennings, who comes in when they go to their 11 personnel or three wide receivers. So 49ers offense was absolutely loaded. Defense had to be retooled. And boy, did they bring guys in. So let's talk about the offense of the Arizona Cardinals and who they brought in real quick, because they made some moves to help this football team. First off, they We talked about offensive line needs to get better, and they brought in Jonah Williams, offensive tackle from the Cincinnati Bengals. So very solid move. Got to get better, especially when it comes to playing tackle. He gets to deal with Nick Bosa and Leonard Floyd. Congratulations. That's what you get to deal with. But he comes from the AFC North, so he's been battling against really good edge defenders for a long time now, Myles Garrett and others. So he's got some talent. They bring DJ Dallas down, the running back from Seattle. He's now going to be in the backfield and helping the Arizona Cardinals backfield. They've got a lot of talent when it comes to the running back position, James Conner. They've got Trey Benson, who they drafted this year. And, of course, DJ Dallas, Michael Carter, formerly of the New York Jets. So they've got some guys when it comes to playing running back for the Arizona Cardinals. And then wide receiver, Zay Jones, gets released by Jacksonville after the draft. He ends up in Arizona. So Zay Jones was rumored as part of a Deebo Samuel or Brandon Ayuk trade. I think it was Ayuk, actually. And he ends up in Arizona. So they got Zay Jones. They signed Zach Pascal out from Philadelphia Eagles. He comes down to Arizona. And then Chris Moore as well. So they signed three wide receivers, a running back, and an offensive tackle to help their football team. Pretty good additions. They had to get better at the wide receiver position. And we'll go a little bit into the matchups here in a minute. Key additions for Los Angeles Rams. And it starts with quarterback Jimmy Garoppolo. So Jimmy Garoppolo will now be replacing Carson Wentz as the backup quarterback for Matthew Stafford. And it seems that Matthew Stafford needs a backup every single year. Something just happens to him physically, and he's not able to play the entire season. When he does play the entire season, the dude's phenomenal. Matthew Stafford is one of the best quarterbacks in the league, and he's tougher than boot leather. The guy just goes out there and plays hard every single play. So I have a lot of respect for Matthew Stafford, but you can't tell me it's not intriguing about Jimmy Garoppolo being the backup quarterback in Los Angeles and the fact the 49ers play LA after the bye week. And who knows what Matthew Stafford's health is going to look like. But if we could get a Brock.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Ready to pop the question and take advantage of 30% off? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com to get 30% off select lab-grown diamonds. That's BlueNile.com for 30% off lab-grown diamonds. BlueNile.com.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwood1, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwood1 now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/westwood1.
Purdy versus Jimmy Garoppolo game where Jimmy's leading the Rams to San Francisco, would absolutely love it. So Jimmy Garoppolo, the new backup quarterback in Los Angeles. Then they bring in Jonah Jackson from the Detroit Lions, the guard. Solid signing. They had to do something to continue to get better on the offensive line. And I feel over the last 2 years, they've consistently got a little bit better and a little bit better. And Matthew Stafford needs protection if he's going to get the ball to Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua. So good move there. Then from Seattle, they bring down Kobe Parkinson to be tight end too. So that is a good move for Los Angeles. They needed to make sure they had a solid backup behind Tyler Higbee. They do it. They also got Davis Allen out of Clemson a couple years ago. So a pretty good tight end room overall for the Los Angeles Rams. So they're continuing to build there. Those were some good additions. Not a lot of offensive additions via the free agency. There was some when it came to adding players in the draft. They got Blake Corum to back up Kyren Williams. That was a great move for them. They drafted for the center of the future, potentially in Bo Limmer later in the draft. So that was a good one. They spent money on, as far as draft capital, on offensive line. They did add a couple undrafted free agents when it came to the wide receiver position. But ultimately, the big guys they drafted were Blake Corum and Bo Limmer. And those guys are going to be expected to make an impact on the Los Angeles Rams. So let's talk about the Seahawks, because they had a lot more additions when it came to offense. They added George Fant, offensive tackle. He'd been there before. Last year was with Houston. He's there to back up in case they have an injury, because they've been having so much problems with their offensive tackles. Abraham Lucas has been dealing with a bad knee. Charles Cross sometimes dealing with some stuff. Last year, they ended up having to play some Stone Forsythe, who's an absolutely huge offensive tackle. But yeah, they've got to do some things there. So George Fant comes into town to make sure that he can help Abraham Lucas potentially be, you know, in the right place. So they brought in an offensive lineman. You got to keep getting those guys in. They brought in a former 49er in Laken Tomlinson, who's going to start for the Seattle Seahawks football team. He's going to be starting at left guard, his normal position. So they have definitely improved. Last year, you know, you have McClendon Curtis potentially steps in, but they've continued to get better. Laken Tomlinson, George Fant, veterans who are stepping in to help Seattle along the offensive line. And yes, I'm looking forward to Javon Hargrave versus Laken Tomlinson. And then they added one of my guys. This has been one of my guys since he got drafted out of Colorado, Laviska Shenault. Shenault comes over from Carolina. Of course, he's been with Jacksonville, Carolina, and now he's going to be with the Seattle Seahawks. I'm curious what they do with him. He's going to be in a back, you know, probably in a situation where he can play in the backfield. He can play wide receiver, but special teams player. Use him probably the way they use D. Eskridge and get him the ball and fly sweeps, quick screens. So that was an addition there. Farrell Brown comes to play tight end. Of course, Kobe Parkinson goes down to L.A., and so they bring in Farrell Brown. He's going to be the backup tight end. Then they signed two under-the-radar offensive linemen, Nick Harris, an offensive center, and Tremaine Ankrum Jr., a guard. So Seattle Seahawks making some moves, bringing some guys in. Nick Harris is there to compete. So we'll see what happens with him and if he's able to make this team. They also drafted a bunch of offensive linemen. They signed some undrafted free agents to go ahead and compete. The one notable offensive lineman that they drafted, Christian Haynes, and he will probably eventually start at guard for them. At right guard, he's going to be competing. So they definitely brought in some guys to help this football team. But how do they handle going against the San Francisco 49ers offense? Or, I'm sorry, the 49ers defense, because last year, if you look at what the teams did against the 49ers defense, Arizona Cardinals had the most success running the ball against the 49ers. The first time they played, that was when Joshua Dobbs was the quarterback. They ran the ball for 105 yards against the 49ers. So they were able to get it done. Now, the big one was actually the Week 15 matchup where they rushed for 234 yards on the ground. So, yeah, Arizona had it figured out as far as running the football in the 49ers. That was not a great performance by that defense. And I think a precursor to some of the problems the 49ers faced when they got into the playoffs. So Arizona has continued to be able to run the football. When you look at the other teams, that like the Los Angeles Rams, even though they had a really good running game with Kyren Williams, the first matchup in week two, it was the passing game that really got it done. They only ran the ball for 89 yards. And then the week 18 matchup, I was there watching that one in person. They got 109 yards rushing, but a lot of that was Carson Wentz scrambling out of the pocket and some design quarterback runs. And the 49ers, of course, were playing their backup defense. So I don't know if that's a clear indication that they're going to be able to run the football in the 49ers. I think they're trying to get better. Blake Corum added to that running back room could potentially help them a lot. When you talk about the Seattle Seahawks and you look at how they ran against the 49ers, 88 yards in week 12, of course, that was a Thursday night matchup. Kenneth Walker was injured a lot. Zach Charbonnet was handling most of the running duties. But it didn't get any better when Walker was back. They only rushed for 70 yards in that week 14 matchup where the 49ers went ahead and took care of business and beat them. So, yes, they had a backup quarterback in that one, but they weren't able to run the ball consistently against the 49ers. The only team in the NFC West that had consistent success against the 49ers running the football was the Arizona Cardinals. Now, when you're talking about the passing attack, the Los Angeles Rams threw for nearly 300 yards in week two. That is the game Matthew Stafford surgically picked the 49ers apart in the first half with underneath accurate throws, and then the 49ers had to rally and make tackles. Steve Wilks had to adjust the defense at halftime. The 49ers played a lot better in the second half, but a lot of success there for the Rams in week two. Arizona Cardinals with Joshua Dobbs at the helm, they did pretty well, as you know, along the way as well. 257 yards passing the football in that game. So Joshua Dobbs was able to create with his legs and create through the air against the 49ers in that matchup. Probably part of the reason the 49ers wanted to bring Joshua Dobbs to town. When it came to Seattle, they threw for 132 yards. Boy, is that bad. 132 yards in that Thursday night matchup. Couldn't get a lot of offense going. And then, of course, Drew Locke was the quarterback in the Week 14 matchup, and they got 254 yards through the air. So Geno Smith continues to struggle against the San Francisco 49ers. That matchup in that Thursday night game, 132 yards through the air. They were better with Drew Locke at the helm, but still, neither time could they really get a whole lot going against the 49ers. 250, not bad in that matchup. And then you look at what the Los Angeles Rams and Cardinals did. Cardinals had a huge offensive output against the 49ers, but 202 yards passing in that week 15 matchup where they rushed for 234 yards. Didn't have to throw very much at all. And then the Rams only had 149 yards through the air with Carson Wentz at the helm against the 49ers backups. So it's not like these teams really had a ton of success through the air, minus Matthew Stafford week two in the first half was very, very good. And then Joshua Dobbs had a little bit of success later on. So what has changed now when it comes to the Arizona Cardinals? Are they now going to be able to do some things against the 49ers? Well, Kyler Murray will be fully healthy. That will definitely help their output when it comes to offensively. They bring back James Conner, and James Conner is going to be able to run the football. They added Trey Benson and DJ Dallas, who will be the third down back. So they've added some talent to go behind James Conner and continue that run game. Trey McBride is still one of the better tight ends in the league and one of the best in the NFC West. Then they drafted Tip Ryman as well to help, but not a ton of depth when it comes to tight end. They're basically Trey McBride and then a young player. So they've got a little bit of work to do when it comes to that. The signing of Jonah Williams, that's going to help their run game to go with Will Hernandez and Froholt at center, Evan Brown, who they got from Seattle, and then Paris Johnson Jr., the young guy. So they've got some guys along the offensive line to potentially keep running the ball. Of course, the biggest addition that I haven't mentioned yet is wide receiver Marvin Harrison Jr., which is going to help them throw the ball so much. With Harrison Jr., Zay Jones, and Zach Pascal, they've got a pretty formidable wide receiver room, and that's not even including Michael Wilson. So I think they're going to be able to throw the ball this year. I think they're going to establish the run a little bit. I think that they could be somewhat of a tough matchup at times for the 49ers just because of the players that they got. It's a little bit different than it was in the past where they had the burners that absolutely ran past everyone. But I think they've got some savvy veterans, especially when it comes to Zay Jones. I think he'll have some success, and we know Marvin Harrison Jr. is going to be all the 49ers can handle. So keeping Kyler Murray in the pocket is going to be difficult, and the 49ers have to be able to stop Arizona Cardinals' running game. If they can't, it's going to be a tough one for the 49ers. So tough matchups overall when it comes to Arizona. After I go through the other two, I'll let you know which ones I think are actually the toughest overall. And then you look at the Rams, Matthew Stafford, and then you look at his tight ends with Tyler Higbee and Kobe Parkinson upgrade. Kobe Parkinson, that's good. They can go two tight end sets. How much will he go away from 11 personnel, though? That's something he hasn't really been willing to do. They improve the offensive line a little bit, bringing in Jonah Jackson and drafting Bo Limmer. We'll see when Limmer gets in there. They got a good center in Steve Avila. So they've gotten better. Kevin Dotson came over from Pittsburgh a little while ago, so pretty good. I still think their left tackle, Alaric Jackson's not necessarily the best offensive tackle, and that could be a weakness for them when it comes to pass rush. I think that the offensive line has gotten better, but when it comes to pass rush, I think they're going to struggle a little bit. Pass protection, not going to be their strong suit. But look at the weapons when it comes to wide receiver. Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua, they definitely get it done. Then they got DeMarcus Robinson and Tutu Atwell, and then Tyler Johnson. So talent at the wide receiver position, I think it's definitely more heavy with Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua. So they've got some weapons there. They've got a talented quarterback in Matthew Stafford. Looks like an offense that if they could establish a run game with Kyron Williams and Blake Corum, could be a little bit of a issue for the 49ers. So we'll continue to monitor exactly how good they are. And let's look at Seattle. Geno Smith, I think, is the weakness of the Seattle Seahawks offense. The way Kyler Murray can run around and make things happen, that's always beneficial. The one thing that Kyler does that definitely hurts them so much is get sacked and lose yardage. He's one of the guys that loses the most yards when he's sacked. But Geno Smith, he sacked a lot. He turns over the football. They did bring in Sam Howell from Washington. We'll see if eventually they're ready to turn that way. Great running back room with Kenneth Walker and Zach Charbonnet and Kenny McIntosh. It's really, really good. Those guys are very strong. So they've got a good running back room. But are they going to be able to run the ball against the Niners? They just couldn't get it done last year. Of course, they got Noah Fant. They re-signed him. He came over with the trade with Denver a couple years ago, and they got Farrell Brown. So they've got a couple of pretty good tight ends. Then you look at their offensive line. Abraham Lucas is injured so much. I think that is a real question mark for them. Anthony Bradford, the right guard, I think that's a question mark. How quick will Christian Haynes get available? Olu in the middle at center, he'll be okay, but they brought in Nick Harris to go ahead and compete. Lakin Tomlinson, we know who Lakin is, and Lakin Tomlinson is pretty good. He's very quick when it comes to the run blocking, but when it comes to pass blocking, how good is he going to be anchoring against the 49ers defensive tackles? I think that'll be interesting. And then, of course, Charles Cross is good when he's in. That's their question marks. The offensive tackles, for sure, are big-time question marks. We look at the wide receiver room, it's pretty darn good. You got Jackson, Smith, and Jigba, Tyler Lockett, and DK Metcalf. 49ers have had some pretty good success against them over the years. And, of course, Jake Bobo came on the scene last year and had a pretty good season. They got Dariq Young, D. Eskridge, and now Laviska Shenault. So they've got some talent at the wide receiver position, but when it comes to strength on strength, I think the 49ers and the Seattle Seahawks, 49ers match up very well with the Seahawks offense because they do match up well when it comes to D-line versus Seattle's offensive line, and they match up pretty well on the outside. Charvarius Ward, the way that he's able to play consistently against DK Metcalf, he does a great job. Deominor Lenore can match up with Lockett or with Smith and Jigba, and I think now Isaac Yedem can handle the other one. So 49ers are definitely able to handle that pass game, and I think they're able to handle that run game as well because I just don't think this offensive line has got good enough. I don't think Noah Fant and Farrell Brown are good enough blockers to really make a huge difference. They're good. I just don't think they're that good. So I don't think Seattle has done enough to be able to beat the 49ers defense. Now we look at Matthew Stafford and that team. The question is going to come down to that offensive line. They have the talent, running backs. They have the talent at tight end, too deep there. But when you look at the offensive line, is Rob Havenstein, is Alaric Jackson, are they good enough to help that team? I think Kevin Dotson is a little bit of a weakness the 49ers can take advantage of. So the same way that we have question marks about our offensive line, I think Seattle and Los Angeles have those same questions. Matthew Stafford gets the time, he can pick the 49ers our defense apart. That's never been a question. So I think they've got guys, but I wonder how good those guys are going to do. Now, I will say this. They have improved over the years because Logan Bruce and Joe Noteboob used to be starters. They are not starters anymore. So they've upgraded the room. I remember breaking down Alec Jackson, and I've watched him a lot. The addition of Jonah Jackson was solid. The all Jackson left side, you know, it's gotten better. But I think the 49ers questions mainly come down to, because I think they're going to put some pressure on the quarterback. Can they get to Matthew Stafford before he can get the ball to Puka Nacua at Cooper Kupp, who are absolute matchup issues? They are just tough to deal with, and I think that's the biggest question mark. Not so worried about DeMarcus Robinson or Atwell or Tyler Johnson. Those guys are going to get a couple catches here and there, and they have the potential, if you have to put too much personnel looking at Nacua and looking at Kupp, to have a good game. But I think the problem is going to be offensive line. So if the Rams can get a run game going, then they're going to be tough for this 49ers defense to stop. If they can't, I think the 49ers are going to have the same success that they had before. Now, let's look at this Arizona Cardinals team, because Kyler Murray, you just have to worry about keeping him in the pocket consistently. That's been a big worry. And then you look at the running back room, James Conner, he's good. Now, if he's hurt and Trey Benson's the guy, how good is Trey Benson going to be in year one? How good is DJ Dallas? Well, we know DJ Dallas hasn't had a lot of success against the 49ers in the past. So questions there. There's a little bit of question at depth with Tip Ryman. He's going to be a good blocking tight end, but what's he going to be able to do as far as catching the football if something happens to McBride? McBride is solid, though. I would say McBride is the second best tight end in the NFC West, just behind George Kittle. Then Jonah Williams was a great addition at right tackle, and I think the right side of their line's gotten a lot better with Will Hernandez and Jonah Williams. When you look at Froholt in the middle at center, he's solid. He's not that great. Evan Brown was never a 49er stopper when he was in Seattle. And then where is Paris Johnson Jr. going to be at this season? He's hopefully getting better for his sake and for the Arizona Cardinals. But I think the 49ers still have an opportunity to be able to attack him. And I think they have an opportunity to beat Jonah Williams. Even though he played in the AFC North, I think the 49ers advantage with Leonard Floyd and Nick Bosa could be on display against those tackles. But they've definitely done a very good job of improving that room. And then the wide receivers, Marvin Harrison Jr., Zay Jones, and Zach Pascal, to go with Michael Wilson and Greg Dortch. Very talented wide receiver room. I think if the 49ers aren't able to hem up Kyler Murray and then also stop James Conner in the run game, they might be very difficult to stop. I'm curious how any of the 49ers corners match up with Marvin Harrison Jr., but it's going to be about pressure. So have these teams done enough? I don't think they've done enough yet, but they're definitely inching closer. The offensive lines are getting better. They're adding more talent at the wide receiver position. Tight ends and running backs are also being added through the draft. So I think they're doing a good job. I think the 49ers right now, defense, should be able to overcome what these offenses provide. I think there's still some weaknesses where the 49ers have strengths, but we'll find out when this season comes up. Please like and subscribe to the channel if you haven't already. I really appreciate it. If you have a different opinion, please leave it in the comment section down below. I'd love to hear your opinion on it. Listening audio platform for your cutback on Believe. And of course, this episode is brought to you by Bet Online. The game starts here. I'll catch you guys in the next one. Until then, stay safe. And remember, the right way is always the 49ers way.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.